You're listening to the Talking Rheumatology Podcast, brought to you by the British Society for Rheumatology.
Hello and welcome to Talking Rheumatology. I'm Caroline Groves, General Development Officer at BSR, and I'm delighted to be hosting this short series where I interview the winners of the BSR Best Practice Awards 2022. In today's episode, I'm talking to Rashid, Anushka and Sarah from Nuffield Orthopaedic Centre in Oxford. Their winning project is entitled Remote Clinical Management in Rheumatology. So thank you all for joining me on the podcast and a big congratulations on your win. Would you each like to introduce yourself?
So I'm Sarah Manderson. I'm the lead rheumatology nurse for the rheumatology team.
I'm Anushka Saini. I'm one of the rheumatology consultants in Oxford.
And I'm Rashid Lukmani, I'm also one of the rheumatology consultants in Oxford and the clinical head of department.
So can we start with an overview of the project and its key objectives and themes?
Sure. So the basic premise of the project was to try and look at different ways of working and capturing information from our patients directly. So the main focus is using digital forms that patients can complete in the comfort of their own home. The idea is to combine that information with the clinical data that we have available in our electronic health records, allowing us as clinicians to perform quite a holistic review of that patient and their disease activity. We then integrate that information back into the electronic health records, which allows us to document that review process, as well as use that as a way to communicate it directly to our patients, as well as our GP colleagues. And to complete the loop, we also, through this process, inform our administrative staff of the required next steps in terms of future appointments, so completing the loop. As it's a new initiative, we're really keen to make sure that it's something that's acceptable and feasible and helpful for both our patients and also our clinical colleagues. And thinking ahead, we also really wanted to make sure that the data that we collected through this process allowed us to improve our service going forwards, as well as contribute to research as well.
So what's the background to the project? How did it come about?
So like many rheumatology departments, at the peak of the pandemic, we were faced with ever-increasing demands on clinic capacity. We had a huge cohort of patients with chronic rheumatic conditions who required our ongoing review from ourselves in rheumatology. But at the same time, we were suddenly very restricted with the number of appointments that we had available. And on top of that, particularly at the beginning, a number of those patients would have fallen into a high-risk group in terms of COVID. So we really wanted to make sure that we reduced any unnecessary in-person reviews. So that was really the main reason that we ended up trying to look for other ways of working to help address our ever-increasing backlog of patients who are waiting to be reviewed by ourselves.
So as you were developing the project, who did you involve sort of at the various development stages?
So right at the beginning, we took the idea to all the members of the rheumatology team, because we wanted to get a sense of what they thought, what would be practical and realistic to include in these digital forms, and a sense of whether it was something that had legs or not. Having got their input to sort of develop our initial prototypes for the various forms, we then developed a bit of a working group that comprised rheumatologists, also Sarah, our nurse practitioner, and we also, very early on, took the idea to our local NRAS patient group to again get their feedback, and we actually got some really helpful comments and suggestions for how we could improve on the forms, which we then took into account when we started to deliver the project live. And the other component that we were actually lucky to have was input from a programmer, and that's something that we're hoping will help us develop the project even further going forwards.
I think that's something we'll definitely touch on later, is what's next for the team and the project. But for now, can you talk us through the new remote management pathway?
The new pathway basically works very much alongside our traditional pathway, but essentially we have a dedicated team of administrative staff who send a link to patients through SMS. Patients then complete the forms that we've created using Microsoft Forms. That information is then compiled in an Excel spreadsheet, which is then uploaded to a custom-made, in-house built rheumatology database that was actually made by Professor Lutmani. The benefit of having that database called RADIO is that it's very easy for the information to be processed and assimilated into a format that's very easy for the clinician to then conduct a review and get a very easy overview of the patient's feelings about their condition and their disease activity. We then look at the information from the electronic health records, and the clinician reviewing will then decide what they think the disease status is of the patient and what sort of follow-up appointment is required in terms of timeline and also format. And we then upload that to the electronic health records and then send out a copy of that documentation to the patient and the GP and communicate the outcome to our admin team, who then help us complete the loop.
So for your project, the admin teams were really essential. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
So they are fundamental in the running of the project. Firstly, they are involved in our weekly project meetings, so we can help drive the project and ensure that we're all working towards the same goal and know what needs to be achieved. They are involved heavily in sending patients out the links for the forms. So they send out an SMS text message to a patient to the correct form for their disease condition. If the patient doesn't complete the form, and they have a check regularly to see if the forms have come in, if they don't complete the form, they then send the link. And then on the third go, they send a letter and a link to remind the patients to complete the form. They are also involved heavily at checking and ensuring that the patient identifiers on the forms match to the list of patients they've sent the forms for. So we've got a cross-check in that respect, so we know correct patients are sending the forms back.
And at the other end, the admin team are responsible for harvesting the forms out, the data out of the forms, and inputting them, importing them into our database, so that the clinician end is really quite simple in terms of just having to review the cases and deal with them. But the other important aspect of the admin team is the volume, because they know how much we can cope with within the time frame that we've allocated ourselves to do the clinical reviews. And so they can stagger the number of forms they send out and wait for them to be harvested to give them to us to deal with. And they know that we can be overwhelmed otherwise if we get too many forms to deal with. And that doesn't help anybody, because then the patient is waiting for a response from the questions that they've submitted on the form. And if we can't process them in time, that makes the patients less certain of the whole process. So it's important there's a good turnover of the information.
And so what did you find were the key results of your project? So touching on things like engagement, cost savings, patient feedback.
So, I mean, overall, I think the engagement was actually quite surprisingly good. So I think at the end of November 2020, we first sent out form links to 160 patients. And we were thinking, well, we'll be twiddling our thumbs for a little while. But in fact, within a very short period of time, within 6 weeks, 60% of those patients had responded. They'd completed the forms. And most of them were doing them on their own mobile phones. So they got the link from SMS text. And in fact, the link could have been used either on their computers or mobile phones, but mobile phones were predominantly used. We included a little bit of feedback in the forms as well. And those patients who gave us that feedback, 80% were saying they're very happy with it. They found it a very straightforward, very easy process. About 20% did struggle with the form. So we know that it's not for everybody, but we think it is for the majority. So we're very pleased with that feedback. To date, we have now sent out 2,600 form links, and we've had responses and completed forms from 1,600 odd patients. That is about 60% still of return forms. The main reason that they haven't returned forms seems to be in 20%. In the meantime, between them being sent the form and us reviewing them, they actually had a clinic appointment, either by telephone or face-to-face, so therefore they were still engaging with us. That leaves around 15% of that 2,600 initial link sent out who have not responded to us. So they're the ones that we think may not understand what we want, may not want to engage with what we're offering, and so we're very conscious that they're the people that could be potentially excluded from a digital system like this. But they still remain on our waiting list, and as Anushka mentioned, this pile of 6,000 or 7,000 patients waiting to be reviewed, we are able to deal with the majority of them using this form initiative, which brings their understanding of their disease to us in a way that we couldn't otherwise get. And that leaves a smaller number of patients who will be awaiting a more conventional appointment. I say conventional, but conventional's all changed now. That's either telephone or video, and rarely face-to-face.
I mean, those are very impressive stats. I think a 60% engagement rate is excellent. So as a team, if you were to give some advice to other teams looking to implement a similar pathway, what would that be?
I think that have a look at what we're doing. I don't think we're necessarily the only way of doing it, but what I like about what we've achieved is that it's modular, in that there's a component of sending a link to a patient to complete a form on a telephone using Microsoft Forms, which is an extremely versatile bit of software. Now, it doesn't have to be Microsoft Forms. It could be other bits of software that people write, but the overall principle is a sound one, and the engagement process we've had with patients is good. But a key part of that was getting that component right and talking to patients from NRAS and also subsequently from other disease area groups like Vasculitis UK, and we've had engagements twice now with NRAS and once with Vasculitis UK to make sure they understand the process and they can spread the word amongst other patients to explain that this is the new way of doing things and it's more efficient. So I think that engagement's important. I think going to the other end, which is to talk to the payer, the CCG, the Clinical Commissioning Group, and we've had very regular engagement with CCG to explain exactly what we were doing, why we were doing it, and people do raise the issue of, well, how is this going to be paid for? What is the funding implication? And in fact, from our CCG, they are extremely happy with this engagement, this fact that we are reaching out to these patients, and they're more than willing to pay the same rate for these form consultations as would occur for a telephone consultation. And in fact, the money saving we have is, we estimate, since we started and having processed about 1,600 patients, we probably save about £140,000 a year simply because we are not putting those patients into waiting rooms in front of us as physical face-to-face appointments or indeed as telephone appointments. We're performing this task outside the actual clinic space completely. We have seconded time for the clinicians to perform this activity of the order of one PA per week on average. It's between 3 to 5 hours per week. And with that time available to us, which also included the development time, because part of that time I was actually writing the thing rather than actually performing the activity, but we're now at a steady state. But despite that, we had processed just under 1,000 patients in a year. And that's where that figure of £140,000 comes from, because of those 1,000 patients, a few of them did require a face-to-face appointment because we had identified in 21% of them they actually needed our help. And so within a 3-month period, we were ordering a face-to-face appointment. So we count that slightly against us. So that's where the total of 140,000 comes from.
And so the final question has to be, what's next for the project and what's next for the team?
Well, if you extrapolate what we've done and say, well, in the equivalent of one clinic a week, we're processing 2 to 3 times as many patients as you would normally process in one clinic per week. Because if you think about it, in a normal clinic, you might, in a rheumatology review, see 10 or 12 patients. We can process 6 to 8 patients per hour using our form system. And that includes the creation of the GP and patient letter. So we're effectively doing a complete electronic consultation. And we feel that this is an ideal system to implement PIFU, patient-initiated follow-up, because if we anticipate that PIFU requires us to still have some contact with the patients, or at least we require to have that contact, and PIFU wants to have less contact with the patients, then we can have the best of both worlds, because we can put in place a plan, which we've already discussed with CCG, to say PIFU for us, for rheumatology and for other long-term conditions, would consist predominantly of form processing. So the patients would enter, if you like, a 3-year cycle where they would complete forms every year or every 6 months as required. And then at the end of that 3-year cycle, in the 3rd year, they would have a physical review. And that would constitute their maintenance ticking over state once it entered PIFU. And if during that time frame of those 3 years they had an acute problem, we would have created the physical opportunity in the clinic to see them at short notice and deal with their problem within a matter of days. So by effectively removing them from regular review in either the telephone, video, or face-to-face service, by transforming that routine assessment into something that's electronic and doesn't require them to spend 3 hours getting to us and an hour in that car park trying to find somewhere to park to see us for 5 minutes, or indeed to be hanging on to the telephone waiting for us to call them, we can just ask them to complete those forms. They can inform us of their state, and if their state is a good one, we know that that also does seem to translate into actually having a physical good state, because we've started doing some audits of how patients actually are soon after they've filled in these forms, and we're quite satisfied that we are actually able to identify people in a good physical state.
On top of that, it will enable us to be more compliant with the NICE guidelines for biologics, because we can do 6-monthly monitoring using the monitoring forms much more easily than offering them 6 months appointments to see them. So it will help with that as well.
And that's because we include the appropriate patient-reported outcome measures, such as RAPID-3 or RAID, as well as the BSR recommended joint count. So that's not something you regularly get in a telephone consult. It's what we used to get in face-to-face appointments, but routine face appointments are very difficult to get because we're saving our face-to-face space for people in trouble. The other aspect of this is expanding beyond just rheumatoid into other disease areas. So for us, we've expanded to include connective tissue diseases, vasculitis, psoriatic arthritis, and ankylosing spondylitis. But I could anticipate that this kind of format would be appropriate for other chronic disease management. So inflammatory bowel disease patients, people with diabetes, people with long-term kidney conditions where you're reliant on knowing periodically how the patient is doing, and that may be in the form of a PROM, but equally it could be in the form of some of the blood results that you would be routinely seeing, because you can always look on the electronic system at what those blood results are. You don't necessarily have to drag the patient in to see you to tell them that they're okay. So I think potentially monitoring the state of long-term conditions would be a nice area to explore this technology in. But as Anushka mentioned, this is what we've created locally between us, and what would be nice is to see it more sustainable, and that's why we've got this support from this project for a programmer from Pfizer Global, who gave us a a small grant towards the project. And our programmer is trying to mirror what we've done, but to make it more sustainable and therefore more able to disperse to other units. So we're very happy, more than happy, to talk to any other units interested in this process.
So it sounds like you have just a great opportunity to scale up the project and to roll it out to other teams who can adapt this model to suit them.
We have put the project onto the digital musculoskeletal playbook, so it's been accepted as one of those projects, so anyone interested can look at the details on the playbook. But I think it's nice that NHS Digital are recognising that these are developments and innovations that could be useful for other centres.
Well, thank you so much to all of you for joining me on the podcast today. I encourage our audience to visit the BSR website to find out more about the Best Practice Awards and to listen to the other episodes in this series. As Rashid mentioned, this project is featured as a case study in the NHSX Digital MSK Playbook, and there'll be a link to that in the episode description if you'd like to check it out. Thanks for listening, and congratulations to Anushka, Sarah and Rashid once again.
Thank you for listening to Talking Rheumatology, brought to you by BSR. Please do rate, share and subscribe through your favourite podcast app.